The Rams Review podcast are delighted to announce a new sponsor for this season, The Terrace Apparel. The Terrace Apparel offers tributes to iconic sporting moments and heroes embroidered onto timeless crew neck tees made from organic cotton for a soft but durable t-shirt which makes them both comfortable and stylish. There are currently over 100 bespoke designs to choose from footballing legends, cricketing masterclasses to major winners, with more designs being added regularly. Can't find something that's special to you? You can even request your own iconic sporting moment. Contact them on their website, theterraceapparel.com. But that's not all. For all Derby fans listening, we have had the pleasure of creating our own design, voted for by the listeners of the podcast over the last couple of weeks on our socials. You voted for the iconic Jim Smith and Igor Stimac at the baseball ground, which will be on sale very soon. Keep your eyes out on our socials for the product launch. Also, we can exclusively offer 15% off all purchases with the code RAMSREVIEW15. TheTerraceApparel.com. Check it out now. Welcome to the Rams Review Podcast. Discussion, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby kept. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the episode of the Rams Review Podcast with myself, Jason, flying solo on hosting duties today. Corey is still very, very tied up with Thanksgiving celebrations and work and preparations for the holidays and all that kind of stuff. But fingers crossed, we will get him back sooner rather than later. But I'm not alone on this episode. Got a special guest, debut on the podcast, Jamie Page, otherwise known as Derby Retweets. Jamie, how are we doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me. I think I've done a few Derby County podcasts, and this is one that I wanted to do. So, yeah, really appreciate you inviting me along.
Yeah, no, I've certainly heard your voice on a couple of them as the guests move around. We're like prime time entertainment on a Saturday night. everybody gets a chance to get on the sofas and you just float around from one program to another. But no, it's great to have you on, mate. And obviously, I mean, really, the big talking point of this episode is going to be that crunch match against Sheffield Wednesday at Pride Park, dinner time kickoff. Unfortunately, I can't go, which I'm actually disgusted with. But my wife made prior arrangements to go out, so unfortunately, I'm going to have to miss the game live on Saturday. I will be watching it, of course. But a shame that I'm going to be missing that sort of a game, that sort of an atmosphere. But before we dive into that, just want to mop up last week. When was it? Last Sunday. Derby's potential banana skin that could have been and nearly was until the 88th minute, certainly 45 minutes, but at the 88th minute when Derby got that winner, was the win down at Rodney Parade against Newport. I mean, not going to spend too much time on it, Jamie, because it kind of was what it was. I mean, a dire first half performance from Derby. Paul Warne describing it as disgusting, which, you know, can't really have any complaints with what he was saying, because Derby were definitely the second best in that first half. Second half, a multitude of things. I think Newport kind of run out of a little bit of steam. We did bring on that little bit of quality off the bench, but left it late with an 88th minute winner. But at the end of the day, that's really what those cup ties are about, isn't it? It was one of those cup ties. You just hope that as the bigger side, in quotation marks, you can get through it unscathed, and that's exactly what Derby did. And they're in, obviously, they're in the hat for the third round, and looking forward to a not so juicy tie at home against Barnsley.
Yeah, I mean, when the TV cameras decide to put a game on TV, you always look at, you know, the team that's kind of hosting, well, the bigger team, and think that, you know, they obviously think there's going to be maybe a giant killing here. Like you say there, first half, I mean, that was awful. That wasn't Derby County of previous seasons. Even when we've been, you know, down in the dumps, we at least look like we can play football. So, yeah, I agree with Paul Warne there on his evaluation of that first half. And I think it's so funny some of the words he comes out with. I mean, he said disgusting. I think he's used the word abhorrent before as well. He definitely doesn't mix his words. So I think potentially they got in at half time and he had a few choice words to say to a couple, and we came out looking like a different team. Louis Sibley went from maybe a 3 out of 10 to a solid kind of 8 out of 10 in that second half. Got his goal, got his assist. And yeah, we kind of come away unscathed, which is good, because I don't think we needed any more minutes attributed to that particular round of the FA Cup. So yeah, looking forward to the next game. Who knows? Hopefully we'll beat Barnsley at home, and then we potentially can get another away day like the Liverpool game, because that was pretty fun.
Yeah, and that is it. That was the task. It was, like you say, you know, you are the favourites there. Big cup upset on the cards. And yeah, for that first 45 minutes, I thought, you know, Derby were definitely not at the races whatsoever. Obviously, credit goes to the opposition. You know, they get their goal as well, which, you know, Derby will look at that from a defensive point of view. Not brilliant. I thought Cashin had a bit of a sorry game, actually, on Sunday. And I suppose one of the things that we've got with the lack of first team members at the moment, you know, they are games that really you want to be rotating in, and then you're seeing the same faces. Obviously, I think there was probably a potential for Scott Loach to play in that one, but I think he was obviously was missing, wasn't he? Because one of the young lad was on the bench, and then obviously very harsh. It would have been very harsh to drop Wildsmith in the form that he's in. Somebody we'll go on to talk about a little bit later on. But then obviously the likes of Fozzie, who really needs probably a bit of a break, can't have one. You know, there's a few others in there. And then, you know, you get the players that have come in for the start. Tomo in the middle, got oiked off after half time. Some may say that was tactical. Some may say that's because he wasn't having an effect on the game. I would probably agree with both statements there, actually. It probably could have been anybody coming off at half time, but it does tend to be Paul Warne's way. It swaps around that midfield a little bit, doesn't he? And tries to get a bit more in there and a bit more aggression in there. And it was very sideways, very boring, very laboured. Paul Warne, I think, classed it as the old Derby County against the new Derby County of the second half, which I think is probably quite a fair way of looking at it. Derby, plenty of the ball side to side, doing no penetration with it. And that's kind of what we saw in those first 9 or 10 games under Liam, wasn't it? So it's just, for me, not necessarily about that game, but, you know, just games in general, you get a game like that where I suppose you can mix it up ever so slightly with the small numbers that we've got. And certain individuals unfortunately, just don't seem to be taking their chances, which, when you've already got a short squad, it's then very difficult to have 3 or 4 players that you hope can come in and have an impact, and they're not doing. And I mean, it is basically you are down to that bare 12, 13 week in, week out, which obviously when the fixtures have been as they were, now we're out of November, thank God. I know December is, you know, still, I think it's what, 5, 6 games in December, but not quite at the rate of knots that it was in November. But when you're having to play the same 11 near enough week in, week out, and, you know, just recently we've been picking up an injury in every game as well, which is really unfortunate. It's a testament for Derby to go down there, I think, and do something. It's keeps the winning run going for me. It could have been an horrible afternoon, I suppose, when you do get that kind of tie, like you said earlier, Jamie. You know, everything's against the bigger side going in there. But normally in that sort of a cup tie, you've got, okay, small, tight, compact ground. It obviously is that Rodney Parade, but normally the pitch cuts up, like we saw down at Plainmoor at Torquay. Obviously, the pitch at Newport is probably just as good as Pride Park, to be honest. The groundsmen get that one right. And there's all little things like that. Obviously, big bustling centre half, big bustling forward up front. It's like you're saying, and the TV cameras always sniff that kind of a fixture out. And I was actually surprised when I saw one or two of the other fixtures, certainly where Buxton's trip to Ipswich, you know, you're surprised that one's not on the telly over Derby. But again, probably not as much of the upset chance as there was at Rodney Parade on Sunday. But Derby are through. As we say, Barnsley in the third round. It's not the glamorous of ties, but I think, Jamie, if you were to set a target of the FA Cup, when you've played in the Championship for 16 seasons in a row and the Premier League before that, you know, the third round proper, the big teams come in. League One, League Two sides, the third round's the aim, isn't it? Derby have managed to get there. You hope to then pick up, you know, that glamour tie. Not at this round, but as you say, still a winnable game against the team we've already beaten at home this season in the league, Barnsley. And then you never know, you might draw in the fourth round.
Yeah, that's it, I think. And, you know, we get prize money for every round that we kind of progress through, which is a good thing. And I think you're exactly spot on there. I think the aim is to go and have another night like we did at Liverpool, where, you know, it's an experience. There's 5,000, 4,000, whatever number it might be, away at a big ground, having the time of our lives and out singing the opponents, which we tend to do. So, yeah, I think that's the aim. I put my, you know, strong money in that we can get a result against Barnsley, and then we can potentially have a chance of you know, getting that away day, or maybe even bringing a team to Derby to Pride Park. I know it seems to go in kind of 2-3 year kind of cycles where we'll draw teams away and then we'll draw teams at home. So maybe it's a bit of a swing of getting somebody down to Pride Park. I say that now, and then we'll probably end up drawing against the lower end of the Championship team or something like that. Maybe we've kind of lucked out on our away days or are glamorised now.
Yeah, quite possibly. But again, I mean, even that, I mean, obviously we saw, I know it was a very much changed side, but you see Derby beat West Brom in the League Cup this year at Pride Park. So, you know, it's not beyond the realms of just because Derby are in League One, we know that, you know, they're not, I suppose, certainly on paper, they're not really a League One side, really. They've not got League One players. So really, if Derby can, yeah, I mean, you do want the big away glamour tie. That's always nice. Obviously, even getting one at home is nice for the fans. But if you're not going to get that, the next best thing is, if you can call them easier ties, I suppose there's no easy tie in football, but easier, more attractive ties at home, get them out of the way. And before you know it, you know, you're deep into that, what, last 16 at that point, something like that. And then, you know, chances of obviously drawing one of the big boys is going to be pretty much odds on, really, I'd have thought at that point. But that's obviously done and dusted now. Cup football is done until the new year, which I think we can all breathe a sigh of relief with the amount of cup games that we've played so far this season. Final point on the game on Saturday, really, I think as a sort of a positive, you've already mentioned, obviously, Lewis Sibley's goal and assist was great. Obviously, seeing McGoldrick score is always nice. But two returning players from injury, Jamie, probably at quite a key point, you know, get them cup games out of the way and now focus on the league until January. And it's going to be an important time for them to Barkhuizen and Jason Knight to come back in, especially whilst we've got, obviously, Mendes Lang still out on the sidelines and probably at least you would have thought a couple of weeks away from what was predicted. So important to get those two players back in it, isn't it? It gives the energy. It's that forward focal point where, obviously, we've not struggled too much for scoring goals just recently, but, you know, if you can add a bit more with the quality that Barkhuizen and Jason Knight can possess, then surely that's only going to help Derby moving forward between now and January.
Yeah, I mean, anyone coming back is going to benefit Derby at the moment with kind of the numbers. So, yeah, I think even if it's a Curtis Davis or a Chester or anyone else that's kind of been injured that's coming back, I think it's a positive. But yeah, with Barkhuizen and Jason Knight, you've got two players there that, you know, you look at and you think they're Championship at least footballers, they're that kind of level. They've been sat watching a lot of football over the last couple of weeks, and they've sat from the sidelines watching some good performances. So I'm sure they'll be both chomping at the bit to kind of get out there and make a positive impact. And I think they've got a task to get back into this team. I'd say probably more Barkhuizen over Jason Knight, because I think Jason Knight plays every day of the week. You know, he's a Paul Warne player. He'll run through brick walls for you. He's that energy, like you say. But yeah, it's the debate of where do you put Jason Knight? Where do you play Barkhuizen? Obviously, they've seen different positions this year, both of them. They've both tried that kind of right wing back, left wing back, wherever they may be. For me, I'd personally like to see them further forward. But then again, if they are playing further forward, I think we need to see a bit more from them. I think we need to see more goals, more assists from Barkhuizen and Knight as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see with Saturday how Warne lines up, not just from a personnel point of view, but also from a point of view of you know, formation personnel. So it's all up in the air at the moment. I wouldn't want to kind of hazard a guess at who he throws in and who he has on the bench ready to kind of come on and make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you can't even really sort of go back to Derby player style at home and player style away, because we haven't had an home game for what, the best part of about 6 weeks. And obviously we've had players unfortunately taken out of that squad in that time. So no, I would fully agree with you. And yeah, you're right. I mean, you don't want to be seeing Barkhuizen or Mendes Lang for that matter play wing backs, because it's not their natural position. But I would agree, certainly on the Barkhuizen kind of thing. You've got to wait. Don't think we've seen enough. And I suppose that's always the point, isn't it? You hear of players that come in, and a name that's been bandied around, certainly in the Championship for a few years with Preston. Obviously, I know he was at this level as well. And you're like, yeah, he's been at one club for six, seven, five, well, 5, 6 years, whatever it may well be. Clearly, chances are a solid player. He's obviously at least had two contracts there, two different contracts there at that sort of a club over that time frame. And you think, yeah, coming down to this level, great. But I must admit, I don't think we've seen what you would have expected. Makes you wonder, obviously, then you start asking questions, don't you, about Preston, and maybe they were right to let him go because he wasn't that good. What did they not see, or what did they see differently to what we've seen? But yeah, I suppose you could talk about like that about any transfer, even if you've paid 30 million for him. So, but yeah, I think you do have to get a little bit more out of him. Obviously, you're right. He's played in a couple of different positions. Obviously, he's had the injury. That's always going to be difficult for him. And then the same with Jason Knight. He's had a very stop-start season, hasn't he? It's been unfortunate for him, and obviously hit Derby hard at the time, because obviously he is, like you say, probably Derby's number one on the team sheet. You would have thought now, certainly at this level. So, yeah. But you are right. You do want a little bit more for him, and I must admit, I thought he put in a decent 20-minute cameo on Sunday. And just got to remember, obviously, these players have been out for a few weeks now, and do I expect to see both of them thrusted into it on Saturday? I'm not so sure, to be honest. I think he'll pretty much go with a similar starting 11, but that we've seen over the last couple of games, which I think has been unchanged in the last couple of games. But again, you're at home. You want to obviously stamp your authority in what is a very, very big game. And yeah, it'd be intriguing. And like you said, the sooner we can get one or two maybe back in at the back as well, just to boost those numbers, then that obviously that's going to be a benefit to us while we roll into January. And then January, who knows, I suppose.
And I think it's going to be the medical team that are going to say, right, Jason Knight's got X amount of minutes, or Mendes Lang, don't play him more than 30 minutes. And I think the most important thing is we don't have a situation like Jason Knight, I think, rushed back to try and play in that Liverpool game. He warmed up, he felt something go, and then we missed him for another couple of weeks. So I think we've got to be careful with these players. As much as we want to see them on Saturday, we want to be able to kind of go out there and impress and get the result. We need to think about the longer term kind of future of these players. And to be honest, if we see them for 10 minutes at the end, just kind of easing them back in, hopefully we're winning by that time. And it's just a bit of a formality, but just need to be careful. So we'll see. I think there might be a couple of surprises in formation. I don't know why. I think there potentially might be a bit of a shift, and I think we might see Knighty play. That'd be my prediction. I think we might see Knighty from the off.
We will see. We will see. Not heard about Aidan Roberts being back for Saturday, so obviously that may change things at left back. You might with Barkhuizen, and if he is back fit and can start, then maybe they do look at that and chuck Knight and Barkhuizen and out wide and do that kind of a wing back role, because they can do a job. But obviously you want your best side out that you possibly can against arguably one of the big teams of League One, of course. And that's obviously where we're going to touch base with next. Mentioned it to you just off air there, Jamie. I mean, obviously Derby and Sheffield Wednesday, massive history anyway. History between the two sides. History from a couple of years ago in the COVID season, and I don't think that they've forgotten about. And then I suppose sort of other interesting ignitions of the fire in January, where we take Mendes, like, well, not take them off them, but we get Mendes Lang, who obviously was playing there last season. We've got Joe Wildsmith, who was playing for him last season. They've obviously got Lee Gregory, who somebody, I'm sure at the time Derby would have wanted to sign at the time, but for whatever reason didn't, couldn't. Maybe it was more the was more the reason. But yeah, so there's quite a few little things going off on Saturday there, isn't there, that can only add to the fact that, at the moment in time, they're two huge sides. Probably don't, neither of them should be in League One. Both fighting at the right end of the table, which is nice to see. And a dinner time kickoff. It's just going to be, it's going to be a cracking atmosphere. We know what Sheffield Wednesday bring as a fan base. We know what they bring as a squad. I would probably say this is Derby's toughest test of the season, and probably the first real one at home, I'd say, after obviously Plymouth. I don't really want to class Plymouth because, I mean, we were coasting until that last crazy 20 minutes, and I thought we looked more than comfortable. But, I think this is probably the first real tester of a team that's going to come to Derby, and Derby need to show the mettle and prove that they deserve to be heading in the right direction, which is, towards the top end of the league, Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. And you've summed it up well there. Both clubs don't deserve to be at this level, but unfortunately, football's not fair. There's another couple of big teams that are, languishing in League One that probably should be higher. So we're definitely two teams that I believe should be playing higher, and it's going to be an amazing occasion. It's a bit of a blockbuster. There'll be a lot of attention, obviously, with the World Cup as well, and there's limited kind of domestic football, so to speak. So yeah, it'll be another occasion. I think it's another kind of yardstick in terms of how far we've come. We looked at the Ipswich game. I think we looked at the Pompey game as well as two away games to see, right, what's this squad made of? Can they compete with teams kind of around them? The Ipswich game, no. Pompey game, jury's kind of out. So now we need to see, Paul Warne's Derby County at home, full crowd. We've got, players coming back. We've got confidence flowing through the team from, the back line with Wildsmith and Fozzie and Cashin, who have been, pretty good over the last couple of weeks. And then further up the pitch with Collins and McGoldrick have both been, in the goals at kind of league level as well. So yeah, it's going to be a really, really good occasion. I'm hoping that we can get the result. But as we said off air, right now, if you gave me the draw, I'd snatch your hand off, I think, because I don't really want to lose to these guys. I think potentially that just takes all of the momentum of the last kind of 4 or 5 weeks out of us, and I think we need to continue that momentum into the Christmas period, and then, January we take a look at things and think, right, what is this Derby County squad going to achieve? Is it going to be playoffs, or actually can we hunt down those top two? I personally think, and I've said it on every podcast I've been on, and I've said it since the start, we should be able to compete. We should be able to win this league, and if we do go on a little run, maybe starting on Saturday, who knows, by the end of the year, by the end of January, what kind of position we'll be in.
Yeah, I agree, and I mean you're right. It's a big game for a few different reasons on Saturday, and I think that what you've just put them there about Derby's momentum, killing the momentum now would, I mean, some might not even realise, because it's been obviously league game, couple of cup games. It's been very mishmashy. It's not just been league game after league game. Derby are what, like 9 unbeaten or whatever it is in all competitions, which is, it is a pretty good run. And there's been a fair few wins involved in that as well, and some decentish performances, I will say. And then I think, again, no disrespects to anybody else in the league, but you look at the fixtures obviously just after Sheffield Wednesday. So if you can certainly, as you say, keep it unbeaten at least, you then what? You go to Burton a week on Saturday, who obviously are very. Well, started the season dreadfully, didn't they? Brought in a new manager, the sort of a t tides turned, but again, a game you would fully expect Derby to be able to go and get something out of. And then obviously Forest Green Rovers, a team that have languished and struggled since their promotion last season. So, and then is it, I think, is it Cambridge or Chelsea? Is it Cambridge, I think, after that? So, you know, another team that Derby should be able to put away before, I think, before then. I think that's then the Boxing Day moved fixture, is it the 27th? And that's probably then your next big test, which is another, you know, top six ambition side as the league currently stands away from home over the festive period against Bolton. So, yeah, if Derby, then let's face it, it doesn't really matter who they come up against, Jamie. If Derby want to hunt down them top two, they are going to have to go to the likes of Bolton and beat teams at home like Sheffield Wednesday to really make differences. I mean, unbeaten runs and points are great, but we've seen, yeah, I suppose Portsmouth last week was a perfect example. I think they'd drawn like seven in a row or something. It means that you do start sliding down those 3 points, even though it's only 2 points more. I know it's weird how it works in football and the momentum that that can build. And yeah, you know, going in on Saturday and say first time at home for at Pride Park in the league for five, six games, certainly for the whole month of November. I don't think we had a league game in November at home. So obviously being able to put on a show for the fans, which is, I think, probably bar what the Bristol Rovers game, sorry, I don't think Paul Warne's start at Pride Park has obviously flourished, has it? So whilst he's absolutely flipped our away form on its head and managed to pick up some pretty decent results, it's about time it turned back to Fortress Pride Park under Paul Warne, isn't it, Jamie? And that's ultimately probably where, if Derby are going to make that challenge, that's where they are going to have to turn it round at this present moment in time. We said differently 2 months ago. It did change. Now it seems to have lost a bit of that momentum at home. It's about time we got a bit of that going as again, and then you know, that unbeaten run can really start to bear fruit.
Yeah, it's funny how it works, isn't it? It's always kind of flips itself on its head. You know, you look at that away form, we sort that out, and then, you know, the home games are disappointing. But no, you're exactly right. If we're going to mount a bit of a challenge, even if we're going to secure a playoff place, we need to make sure that Pride Park is a fortress. And that takes everything. It takes the manager, it takes the players, it takes the fans. And realistically, what we want to see from a fan point of view is that I go back to that siege mentality in the stands kind of feeling that we had obviously last season. So I think we're as fans, it's really important we get behind the players, we give them the platform to be able to go out there and, you know, and entertain us. And I think Paul will probably look at this on Saturday as an occasion where actually if we go out and we go and we beat Sheffield Wednesday, it will be the next kind of catalyst to take the form on. And exactly what you say there, you know, you look at the fixtures in December and you're thinking, actually, we could go and get 3 points. Obviously, Bolton away is going to be tricky, but everything else, I think, you know, why can't we go and go and beat these sides? So hopefully the players have the same confidence that I do, but I do think we do have players that thrive off of confidence. And I think we've seen that over the course of the last couple of, you know, the last couple of weeks. So yeah, for me, it's a really positive time. Ask me Saturday at 3 p.m. how I'm feeling, and you probably might get a different response, but let's attack it with possibility, you know, positivity. And yeah, I think we'll do well on Saturday.
Yeah, I must admit, so do I. I think, you know, as you said, that siege mentality in the stand. You know for a fact there's going to be the best part of 3,500 Wednesday fans in that southeast corner, and you know that obviously that brings a level of excitement for the crowd, and it like you say, just the atmosphere. I wouldn't be surprised if Pride Park's not tipping 30,000 on Saturday. You would have thought, obviously, dinner time kickoff sometimes can make it a little bit different, but you would still expect a good 28,000 there, especially with a good away following. And you've got to hope that, you know, it's a good advert for League One football, and it should be with the two teams in the current form that they're in. It should be a pretty decent should be a pretty decent one. And obviously Sheffield Wednesday, I don't think they've got the greatest of records when coming to Derby. So yeah, it'll just be interesting to see, as I say at the beginning of the piece, how much 2 years ago still sticks in the memory of that. And hope Paul Warne remembers to celebrate for the right side on the touch lines if Derby scores, and not mentions about Sheffield Wednesday or anything like that. But yeah, I'd agree. But I think also everything you've just touched on there is absolutely spot on. But they've also, you know, no disrespects. I mentioned this last week when on our season review podcast. Just I'm a bit tentative to, as the way I watch Paul Warne football. It's very end to end. It doesn't feel like there's a hell of a lot of control in the game. And then, you know, you can probably get away with that against half of this division because of that's just the level that they're at. A team like Sheffield Wednesday, if Barry Bannon is obviously in that midfield, I mean, if he gets a sniff of being able to get hold of that midfield and pull strings in that midfield, and we don't deal with that, Derby are in for a tough afternoon, in my opinion. And we know Sheffield Wednesday have got the power to put the ball in the back of the net. They are good enough. They are very good enough to do that. And we know also that they're good at the other end, and they can keep out. They can keep out goals, hence why they're doing so well in the league so far. But absolute cracking game. Looking forward to it. As I say, I'm absolutely gutted I can't go. Not been to one for a while, and then yeah, miss out on this one, unfortunately. So I'll have to watch this one from home. But yeah, hopefully 3 points. And as you say, then the rest of December, you know, we could be sat here in the beginning of January looking at Derby's unbeaten run stretching to 12, 13, 14 games or whatever it may well be at that point. And then you look back and you go, wow. You know, look what Paul Warne has managed to do since he's come in, especially if the majority of those are wins over the next 3 or 4 games. I mean, yeah, time to probably take stock in January and then see what kind of wheeling and dealing we can do, Jamie, in January. I mean, who knows what January is going to bring? But you never know. He might just pull a few surprises. And what we need to be as a club is a club that, I mean, I think we would be anyway, but we want to be an appealing side for the bigger sides to send their loan players to, and anybody who's knocking about there that we could tie up on a free or whatever. Not that obviously too many of them are knocking about in January, but you know, it's always easier to convince somebody to come, isn't it, when you're fighting in that top three or four rather than, you know, mid-table or languishing towards the bottom end of the division. So yeah, the next 6 weeks or so are going to be intriguing, but fingers crossed Derby can continue, should I say, on that bit of a roll, and see where we are come January. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to the game on Saturday.
Before our score predictions, let's get a Sheffield Wednesday persuasion from James Mappin from Wednesday Till I Die on his thoughts on the game on Saturday at Pride Park.
Yeah, the season so far has been going well. I mean, third in the league, you've got to say it's been going well, to be fair. You know, we're 1 point off second, we're 3 points off Plymouth, who are top. But I think it's probably fair to say that we've not really got out of third gear this season so far, to be honest. You know, the performances, although they've been good, they've not been great. You know, there's still a lot of room for improvement, which I don't know whether that's a positive or a negative, that, you know, 19 games into the season and we've still not played, you know, a decent 90 minutes of football. You know, you can look and we've, you know, beat Forest Green Rovers 5-0 at home. So you'd think that was a good performance, but still, you know, I think they were a pretty poor side, to be honest. But yeah, so far so good. You know, you don't want to be top too early. You don't really want to be the team to beat. You want to go under the radar, which we are doing. You know, when you look at the current form, we're 11 games unbeaten now in all competitions. You know, I know we lost to Spain on penalties, but in 90 minutes it was just the draw. Yes, there's a few cup games thrown in there, but we're still 7 games unbeaten in the league. Having said that, you know, this Saturday is going to be probably the toughest test that we've had since the Plymouth game, which incidentally was 8 games ago when we went to their place and lost. You know, the 7 games in the league that have come after it. On paper, you'd have thought that we'd have done well in those, but you're still got to, you know, go there and do the job. So you've got to take a lot of confidence from, you know, 5 wins and 2 draws. And I think, I've not checked, but we're probably one of, if not the form side at the moment. In terms of the manager, Darren Moore, obviously someone that Derby fans will know well. I think I looked, it's one of the last time that we won at Pride Park was back in 2006. And Darren Moore was playing central defender for for Derby that day. So yeah, I'm sure he'll have remember that for all the wrong reasons. But no, for me, I think he's doing a fantastic job. When he came in, the club was in dire straits. Obviously, we got relegated, very much like what you did last season, you know, with the points deduction. I don't put that down to Darren Moore. The club was a broken club then, and everything that he's done, you know, on the pitch and off the pitch has just made the club a much better place. There is, you know, it does divide opinion. There's players fans that still don't like him, still don't think he's the man for the job, which I think is absolutely crazy when you look at where he was. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, with this squad, we should be doing a lot better. We should be top of the league. But, you know, as you'll know this season, you know, League One is a tough division. But don't forget that he built this squad as well. So he's all right saying these players, they are his players that he's brought in. Talking about players, key players, Barry Bannon goes without saying. I think everyone knows about Barry Bannon. He's, you know, he shouldn't be playing in this league. And I think we know that. We probably get a bit complacent when it comes to him, you know, because we are blessed to have someone of his ability. He just, you know, never flatters to deceive some of the things that he does, some of the passes that he picks out. And this season, he's, you know, scoring goals as well. He's adding goals to his game, which is obviously great to see. He obviously runs the show in midfield. If I had to pick another key player out, I'd have to say David Stockdale in goal. Obviously, we let Wildsmith go. He's now between the sticks for yourselves, so that'll be interesting. But, you know, we've brought David Stockdale in Golden Glove for Wickham last season, or in, you know, Golden Glove in the league, most clean sheets, and I think he's already got 10 clean sheets out of 19 games in the league so far, which is, again, absolutely incredible when you look at it. Obviously, that does come down to the defence as well, but I just think the way that he organises the defence, it's, you know, it's great. And also, you know, if we're winning 1-0, I'm sure he'll be doing some shithousery on Saturday. You know, he mentions his finger that sometimes hurts him later in the game. I hate to say it because I don't like that sort of stuff. I much prefer it if it wasn't in the game. But that being said, teams have done it against us so many times that, you know, if you can't beat them, join them, as they say. In terms of tactics, last season I would have said it would be a 3-5-2 regardless. And we played that pretty much religiously throughout the whole course of the season, especially the latter half of the season. But this season we are playing different formations. I think we are better when we do play a 3-5-2. It's something that we know, and we, you know, that's a system that we switched back to on Saturday in the cup game against Mansfield, and, you know, we were 1-0 down and we win that game 2-1, having made that switch. We've toyed with playing a 4-2-2-2, a 4-2-3-1, a 4-4-2 as well. So Darren Moore likes to mix it up. He uses the phrase horses for courses quite a lot. So, you know, he'll obviously have a look at how the opposition play and kind of match it up. I know you like to play in a 3-5-2, or that's what Paul Warne's been doing since he's been there. So it'll be interesting if we do match you up and go toe-to-toe playing the same system. Like I said, I do prefer it when we do play like that. But the only thing is, you know, when we've got the likes of Mighton and Wilkes, who are fast-paced players, that they can't really fit into that system because they're not wing-backs. So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens. When it comes to strengths, I just think, you know, we've had, I think it's 13, 14 different goal scorers this season. No, we've not got, you know, that prolific striker like a Johnson Clark Harris for Peterborough, who scored, what, 8, 9 goals already. I think our leading goal scorer is Josh Windass on 5. But, like I said, we are scoring goals for fun. I think we're one of the leading goal scorers in the division. We don't concede many goals either, as I've already alluded to, with the clean sheets. So, you know, scoring goals at one end and from all over the pitch, it's not like, you know, you can just mark our best striker and that's job done. Goals are coming from midfield. McGuinness, he's centre-back. He's the first centre-back that's scored for us this season. So, we've got, again, we've got a threat in the air from corners. These goals coming from everywhere, so you've got to have your wits about you. When it comes to weaknesses, bit of a difficult one, that, really. I know I've said that we've not had a fantastic, you know, full team performance so far this season, so I'll probably say that one. But I suppose you could turn that on its head and say that it's a strength in that we're still getting the points when we, you know, when we're not playing so well. Crossing, you know, early part of the season, crosses from the left we were struggling with. We're conceding a lot of goals down that side, but we have, you know, seemed to shore that up a little bit. I think, you know, we do sometimes struggle to break teams down. If teams come and play at us, which I think that's what's going to be the case this weekend, then we do tend to play quite well. Having spoke to another Derby fan, it sounds like you're very much the same. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think it's sometimes a bit difficult to pick weaknesses out when we've only lost three games all season in the league, and we're sat third. It's sometimes a little bit difficult. My thoughts on Derby, I think there's a lot of similarities with Derby and Sheffield Wednesday, to be fair, just in how everything's happened. Obviously, you've come down on a points deduction due to, you know, things that the owner's done. Sounds very similar to what happened to us as well. Obviously, without the points deduction, you wouldn't have sent us down two seasons ago. So, I kind of feel for the fans, really, because that's what, you know, we were in the same situation, probably not as bad. Obviously, you know, your owner's now gone and hopefully things are kind of picking up a little bit. I did worry a bit about the age of some of your players that you're bringing in, and bringing so many players in as well at one time. Again, very much similar to what we had last season, to be honest. And I think, you know, sitting eighth in League One, I think we were perhaps in a similar position to where you were. Obviously, we kicked on in 2022, you know, in that calendar year, and had an excellent finish to the season. So it'll be interesting to see whether you do that or not. I think you've got a great manager in Paul Warne. Even though I probably hate to admit it, I'd like Paul Warne at Sheffield Wednesday if we weren't to have Darren Moore, for whatever reason. I think he's an excellent manager, and obviously he's proven at this level as well. You know, I don't know how many promotions he's got on his CV from League One, but it's probably about two or three, I think it is. So yeah, excellent manager, and seems to be clicking for Derby now. In terms of how the game will go, it's going to go one of two ways, to be fair. It's either going to be end-to-end, you know, two teams going hammer and tong against each other, or we're just going to cancel each other out and it'll be quite a cagey affair. I don't think it's going to be one-sided. I think both teams are going to have chances. I think the key on Saturday is just going to be which team can take the chances, which team can be the most clinical. And yeah, I mean, I'll be there on Saturday. Hope that it is a bit, you know, hammer and tong. I don't want it to be a cagey affair, but I don't know how the heart rate's going to take that one. In terms of score prediction, like I said, we've kept 10 clean sheets so far this season. Home and away, it doesn't really matter where we play. This home form has been slightly better than away. Like I said, I think it's 16 years since we've last won at Pride Park, and I think we've only beat you three times since 2006, home and away. Obviously, all them wins have come at Hillsborough. So I don't think form is going to repeat itself. I think, you know, in all them other games, Derby have probably been the better side in terms of where they are in the league, etc. I think tables have turned a little bit and we're probably on the ascendancy. That being said, obviously you're going to be up for it as well. I'm going to go with a 2. If I go with my heart, I'm going to say a 2-0 Wednesday win. If I go with my head, I'm going to possibly say a 1-1 draw. I said they might cancel each other out, but fingers crossed we can be clinical, as clinical as we were against Mansfield. I think we only had a few chances, and hopefully we can beat you on Saturday.
And before we finish with that one, Jamie, score prediction. We always do one. I don't always like giving score predictions, but it's something that we do as a thing on the pod. So, what we're looking at for Saturday?
Well, it depends if you want my head or my heart.
Well, I tend to go with a bit of both, to be honest. I'm a realist, as an optimist.
I think we'll score. I think they'll score. So if I'm asking my head, I'm saying 1-1, and I'll take that. But if I went with my heart, I'd say 2-1, Rams win. And we can continue that momentum.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a point while it would be it's no great shakes at all against that level of opposition. But I was thinking 2-1 before you said it. I thought 2-1, and in all fairness, it probably could go 2-1 either way. But
yeah,
I mean, I know we conceded 2 against Torquay, and that was but different under different circumstances. In the league, in sort of the way that we've been playing, we've not really seen Derby concede that many goals. Certainly not 2 in a game. So that's the one thing I'd say about that. Are Sheffield Wednesday going to be good enough to score 2 past Derby, and are Derby going to slip up enough to concede 2? I'm not so sure. But at the minute, as I say, we are absolutely on a roll. We're scoring goals. That certainly seems to be something that we've sorted out. And may the good times roll continue at Pride Park on Saturday. And I think, you know, McGoldrick's in a bit of a rich vein of form, isn't he? And as you say, if you can add the likes of Barkhouse and Knight into that mix, Collins is due one. You know, there's a few bits and pieces there that you could argue and piece together. And I think I would agree with you. I think it's going to go one of two ways, I've got a feeling. And I know this is probably cliche, but it's either going to be a very, very tentative, quiet draw, or Derby are going to come out and absolutely put them to the sword like they did against Bristol Rovers. And if Derby can come out and start on fire like that and get that early goal, then I think Derby are in the driving seat. And I don't think there's many teams in this division that will peg Derby back as well as, you know, as well as then turn around and beat them. So, yeah, fingers crossed for an early goal. Fingers crossed for a Derby 3 points. And as we say, who knows then, you're rolling into the next couple of games into that festive period where, you know, Derby could be on a real run. And yeah, get that gap close to the top two, Jamie. I think that's got to be the aim, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think going back to Saturday, like we've said previously, there's lots of stories there. I think it's going to be maybe a bit of a pantomime. You'll have a main character, maybe a, you know, a couple of gaffes and stuff like that. I just hope it's on their side, not ours. I think Wildsmith will either have a very good game or a questionable game. He's probably due a questionable game because he's been in such a rich vein of form. But yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of a story there. And hopefully, you know, it's our player that's the hero and not the villain. Obviously, like you said there, McGoldrick, he's got those Sheffield United connections. So can you see him running over to that corner with his arms flexed, you know, celebrating in front of the Sheffield Wednesday fans? Possibly. But equally, can you see Lee Gregory peeling away and doing the same in front of the North Stand or the South Stand? Possibly. So it's fascinating. We'll wait and see. But let's hope that we come out with at least a point.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I think we've touched on it. I think midfield, as is always with a lot of football, midfield's going to be that key battle. And as I say, if Derby are going to have to find a better performance than that first 45 against Newport in that midfield against, obviously, Bannon and whoever else slips in there. I'm not sure who else plays for Sheffield Wednesday, to be honest, at this level. So, yeah, it's going to be a battle. And, yeah, just got to hope that Derby can show their mettle, continue to develop under Paul Warne, and, yeah, put a marker down. And it would be a marker. I think we both agree with that. It would be a marker if Derby can turn them over on Saturday and pick up those 3 points. That is it, Jamie. That is the chat. It's not as much to talk about. I mean, normally we've been having three games in a week to talk about, but we've not had none of that. So that is all. Obviously, World Cup update. England are through. Fantastic. Looking forward to Sunday against Senegal, and you know, hopefully get past that one before we get knocked out by France, I would have thought. But we'll wait and see. And I'm sure we'll have more World Cup catch up next week on the podcast. And next week's podcast will, of course, have all the fallout from the game at Pride Park on Saturday. And then it's Burton on Saturday, then Forest Green midweek, isn't it, the week after? So a couple of games to preview there as well. Looking forward to that. Hopefully Corey's back in the chair. And that's all. Jamie Page from Derby County Retweets. Jamie, absolute pleasure to meet you, mate. Absolute pleasure to have you on. Speak to you again soon.
Thanks so much. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to the Rams Review Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. And if you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter @RamsReview1. on Facebook, Rams Review Podcast. Drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. And until next time, up the Rams.